This is the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald, where we exist to move church forward and have the conversations that every team needs to be having.
Welcome to the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. My name is Brandon Stewart, and I'll be your host today. We've designed this space to have the conversations that every team needs to be having. And our goal today is to start a conversation and for you to finish the conversation with your team at home. So welcome to the space. We're so glad you're here. And today's conversation couldn't be more critical and more necessary for leaders and for teams where we're going to head today. I'm going to welcome Pastor Kevin and let him take the lead and help us set the tone for the conversation. Pastor Kevin, in fact, this was a conversation that you really wanted to have.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to kind of interrupt the program, if you would, and jump in here. In fact, we actually had other podcasts already completed and finished. And then we said, we gotta change that. That's not good timing. So I called on my friend, Pastor Earl McClellan, and I said, can you help us out? And he has been gracious enough to jump on here with us today. So Pastor Earl from Shoreline Dallas, welcome. We're so glad you're here today.
Hey, love you so much. Honored, excited to be here. I appreciate you, Brandon. But you know, Pastor Kevin, you and your wonderful wife are such inspirations and strengths to us. Anything we could ever do to be a support and a strength to you, we're honored to do it. So I'm thrilled and excited to be a part of this conversation.
So Earl, you have absolutely been helping us. And even over the last couple of weeks, we might share some of that, but what we're going to focus on today is we're going to focus on listening and loving so that we can lead. Our church community right now is so much in need of our voices and our leadership. And then our the broader spectrum, I think, of the city we live in, the community where we are, is in need of sound, strong, healthy, biblical leadership. But what I'm finding is that in order to really even be helpful in terms of leading, I first have to, in this scenario especially, listen and love. And so I've been putting a lot of effort into that, and so far so good. And Earl's been one of the people that I've called on and listened to help me. So hopefully today we can just help our whole audience, church leaders, all you guys out there, to be equipped better to lead by this conversation.
Absolutely. And today's conversation is going to be really free-flowing. So we're just going to see where this all takes us. In fact, Pastor Kevin, you just had us in the territory where I wanted to begin, and that was with listening. I know that you've been doing quite a bit of listening the last couple weeks. So I just love if you would tell us what that's looked like for you. The formats, you know, the times that you've spent listening to others in this time.
Yeah, I might have started with Earl, whatever that's been, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I started reaching out to Black pastors as well as the African-American community in our church. And that was pretty much my approach was, in some cases, it was just simply wanted you to know I love you. And in some cases, that ended up going to, can we talk? And then we get on the phone and I share the struggle I'm having, the challenge I'm having. And some of that today is going to, again, we're going to filter through it. But I guess I've talked to a lot of people, mostly from the African-American community, and I've learned a lot. And I'm still feeling like I don't know very much, but I do feel like I'm lessening the curve in terms of, you know, the ability to at least begin to understand things that I haven't really understood. And so, Earl, I want to pivot over to you. When I called you a couple of weeks ago, I didn't expect to have you say to me what you said to me. And I want to go back to that, because I'm betting a lot of people have never heard this before. I called you after an exchange of text, I think, or you, I don't remember, we got on the phone. I said, I'm just struggling with the idea that a lot of, you know, as a white leader, I just don't think I'm enough. I can't please the black community. I know how to be honest about how much I hate racism. I hate what's just happened to George Floyd. Everything is messed up big time in terms of the training or whatever. There's got to be a change. But I've said some things and it hasn't been enough. Do you remember what you said back to me?
Yes, I said, I feel the exact same way. You know, I feel, and again, I'm black. I can feel like I'm not doing enough. I can feel like I'm not saying enough. I can feel like I'm not, I don't know, whether it's loud enough or eloquent enough or militant enough or kind enough. Or, you know, I've got like, am I supposed to be really, really, really angry? Am I supposed to be really, really, really docile? Am I supposed to be really, really quiet and contemplative? Am I supposed to be shouting from the rooftops? I think any particular person in our church might be looking at me expecting me to be a certain way. And I don't know that with, you know, the church community size that we have, and now even with social media, I don't know that any of us can actually get it right for anybody. I don't know anybody that can. So
I needed to hear that day. I lived with an illusion. In fact, before I talked to you, I literally told one of our pastors who was, I felt like, unfairly attacked and being attacked by some people that were black people who were close in our community of church. I literally said, this came out of my mouth, I said, maybe they just need to go find black pastors. You're a beautiful person. You're a wonderful person. I know you. I know your heart. And I see you're broken right now. Maybe just let them go. Like, just don't try to please, because we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. Mm-hmm. And then I got on the phone with you, and it shocked me that a black pastor could have the same sort of struggle. I mean, what I think is enough and well said, there's people that say the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. I have one of my friends, and I feel like he is even more passionate and outspoken than I am. That's what I feel anyway. And he told me, man, I got these people in my church telling me I'm not doing enough. Mm. And when I heard that, I'm like, dang, there's no hope for me, because I'm in a hole so deep right now. Like, I don't know how many posts I have to do. I don't know what I have to say. I don't know how explicit I need to be. All I know is I'm trying to be as honest as I possibly can, assess what is going on. And I also want to make sure I don't try to live to please some certain group so some certain group doesn't leave my church, right? You know, it's like a pastor that preaches so the person who gives a lot of money doesn't leave the church. It starts getting skewed, right? You just start manipulating the gospel, and you start manipulating what you preach, and you start manipulating how you lead to keep someone that probably at some point in time is going to be leaving anyway, because you're doing too much of a song and dance to keep them. So you, at some point in time, you just got to go, you know what? This is what I believe. This is where we're standing. This is where we're going. And this is how I'm going to move forward. And if they choose to go, they choose to go. With all that being said, I appreciate your posture. I want to listen, because I could have a blind spot. I could very well be saying something that I don't know, that I don't mean to come across as hurtful, that's actually hurtful. So I want to pause for a second. I want to hear. I want to be a student, but I don't want to live in fear. And there's so many landmines all around here. So I've kind of, I had to get to the point in my brain, even with all this that's gone on, the tragic, you know, death of George Floyd, I'm like, I'm going to have to be okay stepping on a landmine. I'm going to have to be okay with that. I'm gonna have to be okay that it's probably going to happen at some point in time. And I'm just going to have to live with that. Because if I'm not okay living with that, then I'm not going to step. I'm not going to walk into this field, and we're not going to get to have the progress and the healing that is necessary. So in order to get there, I have to be willing to lose a toe or an arm or what have you, if you will. And I'm speaking figuratively, of course. I pray that's not, you know, actually something that's going to happen. But I'm stepping into this, and I felt God convicting me about my desire to want to get along with everyone and bring everyone together. That's one of my gifts, the strengths finders, is harmony. That's one of the ways God wired me. I bring folks together. I'm just been like that my whole life.
Yeah.
So I had to be okay with it. It was on my knees that this had to happen. I had to come to terms with the fact that not everyone will like me. Now, we all know that there is a lid that comes with being liked. You can only reach a certain point if being liked is a goal and an objective. And you can probably have a significant amount of influence, but there will come a point that if you want to continue to grow, you're going to have to be willing to remove that lid of likeness, get that off, and go, hey, I want to reach people for the cause of Jesus. It's not about my fame. It's not about my name. It's not about my comfort. It's about advancing his cause. And right now, that means we need to be willing to cry with people who cry, call murder what needs to be called murder, call wrong what needs to be called wrong with looting and the other violence, call wrong police brutality, at the same time honor police officers who are putting their lives on the line every day. It's like all of this stuff together. It's like it's all landmines all over the place, but I'm like, I'm just going to be okay walking in this, recognizing probably some bomb is going to go off, and if my whole church is gone, moving to Tacoma, and hopefully you'll have me on your staff.
You don't want to move to Tacoma, man. Pick a different spot.
I'm moving to Turks and Caicos.
Hey, you know, just to broaden, I know who we're talking to right now, and to broaden this and remind the listeners that we realize we're talking to pastors that are, you know, we call them senior pastors, lead pastors. We're also talking to teams. And I want to insert this right here, because I feel I'm asking teams, and Brandon on here, he's leading Second World. I want to insert that it's so, please don't expect your pastor to become an activist. Please don't expect him to be able to just go one direction. Your heart may be like really, you know, toward this. And so what I'm saying, and then Earl, I'd like you to say, you know, good, bad, here's what you need to add to it. I'm saying this. This is where I found my voice in this. And that is, I'm saying the whole body matters. I, as a pastor, prayed for a multiracial church, and we had about 800 people before we had the first black family. And they settled because I went to them passionately and said, please be the beginning. Don't just look around you and say, I don't belong here. And then that man became my personal assistant for many years. You know, that story of progression, I'm telling you, because there's a lot of us pastors who, I think God brought us into our space in history to consider everyone. And today that's one of the things that we are really proud of as a promise we've made ourselves as a church at Champion Center. And there's three promises, and one of them is we consider everyone. So in a diverse church, pastors automatically go, there's a Latino community over here too. We have like one location, almost all Hispanic. In my head, I'm going, they've dealt with injustice. They've been profiled. They're trying to shake off stuff. I don't want them to think they're not seen right now. We have law enforcement families. I want them to know that we're not painting them all with one brush. We're like, we know many of them, and all of us know that. Like, there's a lot of good officers and people that are devoted. I want them to know that. So I'm moving around like this, but here's where I settle, is that I need to maybe say what I just said to all of you. But then I need to say, but when there's one group of our church who is rushed to the hospital in critical condition, others might be in the emergency room with a cutter, but this group, the Black community, needs us right now. We hurt with those who hurt. We mourn with those who mourn. And this is an all-time red alert. Like, this is, let's please come together and let's not get, you know, interested in our own issue. Let's focus behind one group of people.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I would say to all the teams and pastors, you're already used to doing this, right? I mean, if you got a church of over 50 people, you've already had one marriage that's on the verge of divorce and they're a key leader, you know, in the church. And then you've got this other family who has a teenager that is struggling in school. And then you've got this other single person that's, you know, dating this individual that's not really good for them. And then you've got whatever, you know, you can go down the line. And we're used to going, woo, 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 woo. And we give extra attention to the thing that needs extra attention.
Yep.
And we've already been doing this. For whatever reason, with Black Lives Matter, we feel as if, like, I can't say that. Mm. Because if I do, then I'm negating, you know, all these other issues that are going on. But when you were helping that family that was on the verge of divorce, you didn't feel like you were negatively impacting the family that had a teenager that was struggling. Even if you got up on a Sunday and you did a Sunday to talk about marriages and how important marriages are and how to strengthen marriages, you didn't feel conflicted. Now, you did have in your mind, hey, there's some people here who aren't married, so I do want to make sure I pull in the single people a little bit to make sure they know that this church is for them. You know how we do as pastors and as leaders. That we've already been doing this dance, if you will. So let us not take this issue of the racial injustice and just pushing this whole ball forward. Let's not try to make it like this other thing, like a muscle we've never worked before. We actually have worked this muscle. We just haven't had this many eyeballs on us, nor has it had this amount of like fuel to the fire, because this obviously is, you know, paramount and, you know, on front page news, if you will, and filling up our Twitter feeds. So right now it's okay to say Black Lives Matter. And I'm not negating all the other things that are going on. I'm not saying other lives don't matter. I'm not actually saying that. I'm just trying, to your point, I'm trying to help somebody who's being rushed to the emergency room, and I'm going to help get these folks stable, and then I'm going to go back out. And if somebody else needs me to stand up for them, and it's the Latino community, it's the Asian community, it's the whomever community, then I'm going to stand up for them and I'm going to help them. Now, the problem is everything gets so politicized. And now, are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you an independent? Are you this or that? And we as a church are trying to rise above that. That's where I think we get in trouble. We start getting in bed with certain political parties because now our message is being filtered through that prism of whatever color we vote. And I think that impacts what we're able to say with clarity. So I'm all for voting. I pray people run for office. I hope people are leaders in their communities. Go ahead and do all of that. But I just say be careful about who you get in bed with, because during these times, all of those connections can start to impact what you're saying and how you're saying it. And people start going, well, I thought you were here. It's like, well, yeah, I was just doing that because I had a chance to kind of give some influence but that's not what I believe. So now you have to answer a whole bunch of other questions that you would not have had to answer. And again, everybody can kind of do things how they want to do things. This is just kind of my own little soapbox, if you will, you know. But I do think we've already been used to this. Let's now step up in this new season and let's be willing to join with the chorus of our world that is saying something that needs to be said. And it does not mean there won't be some other lyrics to this song later. Right now, we just happen to be vamping on this one chorus right now. So let's vamp like it needs to be vamped. Just like we do in our worship, come on, sing Waymaker again. Waymaker, miracle work, do it again. Waymaker, you know, we had Waymaker, we had Reckless Love, we got the blessing. I mean, we're singing those songs and singing those songs and singing those songs. And right now there's a song that I think needs to be sung and the people in our community need to hear it.
Wow.
And what it will do is it actually is going to give permission for other people to be able to say some things maybe they never would have said because we were willing to do this. It's like when you talk about pornography in church and then other people start talking about, I don't know, cheating. It's like you opened up one door and then something else got open. You're like, oh, they felt freedom to talk about their cheating because we talked about pornography.
Wow.
It's just helping. It's just bringing everybody along. It's God just drawing us out and kind of get out that junk that's on the inside, but he can't do it all at one time. So let's just kind of stay on this chorus and we'll trust him for the next chorus when it's time to go to that line in the song.
So good.
So good. I'd love to hear you both talk to pastors and teams for a minute on this. Pastor Kevin, when you and I were talking last night, you talked about the fact that now is not the time for us to be individually minded in terms of what we're posting, what we're talking about. You know, I could imagine there's some pastors out there that feel like they're people on their team are getting out a little in different territory, you know, here and there that don't accurately reflect the house. You know, they don't accurately reflect their leader's heart. I mean, my heart is always to lead second and to make sure that what I'm saying reflects well back, you know, on you. You're my leader, or you know, for someone else, their pastor. I just love for you to maybe speak to teams about why our unity is more important now than ever, and how we need to watch that in our social media posting to be responsible with it.
Yeah, it's so good. I want to first of all say that we have our own history of not getting this right. And for all I know right now, I mean, there's a couple of scenarios with newer staff members who are trying to find their stride in the team right now and to understand where the individuality stops and the team begins. And so it's just going to be natural. So if some of you are dealing with it as a pastor or if you're a team member, as I say this, I don't want anybody to feel condemnation. I don't want this to get funky. But I would just encourage everyone to realize that when you're on a team and if you have a platform that's been given to you with the church, make sure that you don't just assume that your individual preferences can be voiced or your individual emotions can be expressed without hurting your team right now. And I think as even pastors, I think Earl said it, I think earlier in a little different way, but we have to suppress some things in certain seasons and know that there's things we can't do or say because it would actually hurt the body. It would actually hurt the bigger picture. There's times I want to get in and go at it on social media, for example. I just want to lock horns. I'm confronted by nature, and I have done that. It was a mistake when I did it. And the mistake is because there's more damage done than good. So it doesn't have anything to do with me not still having, you know, the individuality that I feel like is important, but it does have something to do with giving up whatever I need to give up to be a part of God's team in this season and the hour. and to identify with that above and beyond everything else. So some, it's actually your race. Others, it's compassion for your race or for the opposite race or for a different cause that you would want to really raise your voice. And I would just, I think it's really important in a seat for teams. I mean, we're all about team church. So this is the space I think that we can talk about is that I just appreciate, you know, one of our gals who's not even really a platform person, but she's, she's in graphic design, but she's sort of been close to our family and a little closer in just out of natural, organic relationship. And she's very passionate about what's going on, very tender. But the other day she texted me and said, hey, I wanted to ask you, do you mind if I go to the parade, the peaceful parade? And I just appreciated it so much. She wasn't the only staff member. It just meant the world to me that they would actually ask. And again, I think that has a sensibility about it because they're aware of the all the things we've just talked about and how what we love this group too and we love that group too. And we have to navigate waters like this in unity. If we're going to, in the end, be able to elevate everyone to the place of kingdom mindset. Because there's just no doubt about it, and again, I want to hear from you, Earl, on this before we're done, but there's just no doubt about, in my mind, that the only answer to this, without trying to find sound hyper-spiritual, the only answer to this is Jesus. And there are scriptures I'm reading. I read another one this morning just on reconciliation. And I would encourage you, like, Jesus tore down the wall. He basically brought between between those who were different by race. He, not through hate, not even through a parade or anger, but he became a representative of something higher. And elevating to something bigger that was more inclusive. And by being more inclusive, you basically have to ride that tension of saying, I am for you, and I am for you too, and I'm for you too. And I know sometimes you guys are not for each other, but I'm going to be for you and you and you and you at the same time. And when you elevate like that, you're actually coming into a kingdom culture, a kingdom mindset. That is the answer. And I know, again, I feel sometimes as a white leader in this space, I feel like they're going to, when I say that, they're going to, you know, hear that I'm not for the, I want to pass over the dilemma that the black community is in right now. So I have to speak up for them. I have to say, I hate that. I have to mm-hmm. say all of that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it really is. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a couple more things real quick, and I definitely want you to expound. No. But to me lately, I have not liked the oversimplification of, you know, the only answer is Jesus. Personally, just I've wanted to say more than that. And so I want to say what I mean when I say Jesus is the answer and the only answer is I mean there is a salvation that he gives that sets us all free from the guilt and the condemnation that we carry on our lives. And he is the only one who can give us the kind of acceptance that can transition our heart to a place of accepting forgiveness and grace from the one who has done the most and loves us most. That changes my heart to know I am deeply loved, and deeply accepted by God. And that is salvation. The second thing that Jesus represents when I say he is the only answer is his teaching. I'm sorry, I love all the other people have tidbits, but at the end of the day, I'm a Christ follower. I want to read his words about loving my enemies or whatever that might be that stretches me and goes, and I go, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to do that. But I want to keep trying because his teachings are what matter most to me, and they also are the answer to the dilemmas that we have. Thirdly, is the hope he gives. When he says to me and to you, you are the light of the world, by the way. You are the salt of the earth, by the way. Don't let your head get down and don't get discouraged. I got you there right now on purpose. It's your time, it's your turn. Those things about Jesus and who he is, those three things, that's what I mean. So I feel like maybe some people, I had to say that because maybe I'm going to talk about this more right now because I've avoided the line a lot. Well, you know, all we need is Jesus, or what we need is Jesus, or Jesus is the answer, because I'm wanting to say, wait, that sounds way too, we need a car sometimes, we need a job, you know, things we need, like, don't do that, don't just say that. But I think if we clarify and honestly get it, that is the common denominator we have.
I think there's some really beautiful things that you're saying there. And to jump in with a backtrack to the team piece, we had a meeting not too long ago with our staff team where we just opened up the floor and said, okay, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on? What's going through your head? I was trying to stir the pot a little bit, okay? I'll be honest with you. Trying to stir the pot a little bit because right now it is very comfortable to say certain things.
Yeah.
And then it's not so comfortable saying other things. What if, I don't know, I won't say that. I'll say, let me keep this as
safe. But go ahead, whatever.
G version as possible. Just somebody on your staff team has a question that might be they're not a racist, but they have a question. So where do they have the space to ask a question that in a lot of circles, it will be looked at as if they're a racist.
Yeah.
But I don't know where else to go to ask this question. So can I ask it here? Then I'm trying to press it to our team and, okay, we say we're family. Are we family to that level? I get right now that people are feeling sad. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this racism was even going on anymore. And I actually appreciate that. Again, it's kind of like so many folks woke up and, you know, I've already been awake for a while. So there is a level of emotion where I just got used to living life the way I've always lived my life. And it wasn't a burden per se, like it was holding me down. But now I have a lot of friends that are like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this. And so then you got the emotional piece of like, okay, well, let me help you along too. When now you're like reliving things. I'm going back to when I was growing up in my neighborhood and what people thought about cops and how I had to kind of purge that out of me. And now that's all kind of being brought up again. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like, this. There's a lot going on here. But I wanted to give space for just the staff to go, can I ask a question that if somebody saw this on Twitter, they would kill me for it. Yeah. But I want to ask it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's a real practical for the teams. I think you can have somebody black and white or Hispanic or whomever up front to help kind of moderate and just kind of help people along on that journey. And then the other thing that I really like that you were saying about Jesus, obviously, I believe he's the answer too, right? I mean, I don't think this is ultimately a legislative issue, though I think obviously some legislation ought to change. There's got to be rules that were written during 1940 that were good in 1940, but they're just not good anymore. You know, it's just like, we got to change some of those things and we don't ever look at them because who needs to look at them, right? Because our world is fine until we realize, oh, it's not fine. And these rules are actually negatively impacting some certain of members of our congregation and our population more disproportionately than others. And I didn't even know that was going on. Had I known, I would have spoken up earlier. But now that I do know, I am going to speak up. But I do believe Jesus is the answer. And then as we are looking at it, you know, we're pastors, right? So we're reading scripture. We're reading it from a certain point of view. If you are a woman and you read scripture, you read it from a certain point of view.
Good.
If you're an immigrant and you're reading scripture, you read it from a certain point of view.
Yep.
This is how the Bible, one of the reasons the Bible is able to be such a transformative and powerful thing to the slaves, because the slaves in America were reading it from a slave's point of view. Now the master reads it from one point of view. The slaves read it from a point of view. Women read it from a point of view. You know, you got all these folks coming at it from all these points of view. So as we say, you know, Jesus is the answer. Everybody's got to know that's what we believe. That's who we are lifting up. We cannot lift up black. We cannot lift up white. We cannot even lift up any other entity. We got to be lifting up Jesus because that's who draws men and women unto himself. As we are lifting him up, we all recognize, let me see. What am I communicating with this Jesus that I have known and understood for years? You, Pastor Kevin, you've been doing this thing for long enough to know, like, oh my goodness, I know when I say this, it can sound like that. And other people, they might be doing this for just a short period of time. This is a church planner, and they think they can say whatever they want to say, however they want to say it. And you're just creating some issues that you don't even need to create. If you had a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more patience, a little bit more empathy. So I love what you're saying there. And I echo it, you know, 1,000 times. And then encourage all of the pastors and the leaders that are listening to this as you bring your point of view from the scripture. It is a really, really strong one. It's a valid one. And just keep recognizing that the Pharisees were hearing what Jesus said one way, and then the woman who's caught in adultery heard it too. And it kind of came through some different filters. Okay. So we're trying to, as we lift up Jesus, you're going to have some people are going to go, I don't like that.
Wow.
That's hard. Wow. What do you mean love your neighbor? I thought that was an idea. You actually mean I need to take a step? I didn't think Jesus meant that, you know? So you're right on. Jesus is the answer in all of this. And then
you're right on too. Wow. That's you're right on too, man. So true. So good.
Pastor Earl, I want to thank you and honor you to just for your and to Onika, your consistent ability to transcend and not get your voice doesn't get into the ditch on one side or the other or into the political thing. You've just always had a really unifying voice. And I just want you to know I've always admired that about you, admired that about your church. Your church echoes that. And we really value how you have fought and found your way to that perspective. We're actually going to start landing the plane here because believe it or not, we're probably already 2 episodes in. And if we keep going, we're going to have half a year's worth of podcast.
Hey, Earl gave us 5 hours. So that's true. Hey, Brandon, can I just say one more thing? Cause I'm going to let you land that plane. And I want to give credit to Jimmy Rollins for saying this yesterday. I was interviewing him for our weekend this weekend, but, I never heard this before, and I've been around a while, and it helped me, so I want to pass it. It just simply says this, that if you're going to be a bridge builder, get ready to get walked on by people from both sides. So I don't know where that quote came from. I just hadn't heard it before, but it blessed me because I feel like I must be a bridge builder because
right.
I'm getting walked on in every direction right now. Go ahead, Brandon.
I love it. No, that's encouraging. I mean, Jimmy's the best too. And is leading obviously a life-giving transformational church, and you having interviewed him is right. But man, we're all feeling it. The other day I was thinking, what does a pastor in Syria deal with? Because here I am, I'm battling all of this, and these guys are stepping up wondering if their church is going to be bombed every day. And it just stopped. I just paused and just started praying for the persecuted church and those in hostile parts around the world, because I don't know about you, I've needed a vacation in all of this. And not that I'm trying to run from problems, but, you know, just the idea of like, man, you got the pandemic. That would have been enough. Now we've got this that is coming to the forefront with all the race issues and the ethnic issues and civil issues and all these things that are coming to the forefront. And you just want, you want to lead people well in all of this. I mean, I don't have a private jet, but man, that thing sounds like a great idea right about now. So if anybody has one, they can hook a brother up. But we're just going to keep on praying, grinding forward. And at the end of the day, you know, let love and let empathy and let compassion, let us laying down our lives for others be our mantra. I mean, I don't think we can go wrong with that. We didn't get in this to try to be popular. We got in this to connect people with Jesus and to see his name lifted up. So, and we're going to help people all the way, as much as we can along the way.
So good. So,
no doubt, walking out of this episode, someone listening today, a pastor maybe listening today, they're going to want to do something. You know, they're going to want to say something. They're going to want to post something. I've heard it described by a friend recently, you know, that race tension and racism in America, it's like we have a chronic illness. And from time to time, that chronic illness has flare-ups, you know, and of course, may Jesus heal our nation of it. But right now we're in a flare-up, you know, we're in a moment, and no doubt this probably won't be the last flare-up. And we're going to need to keep leading and keep speaking on this issue. It can't just be, you know, the beginning of June here in 2020. This is going to have to be an ongoing commitment. My question for you, and I had a couple pastors text me this before the episode, just curious about this. What does the Black community need to hear from leaders right now? Just like really specific, what do they need to hear? What do we say that matters right now that brings healing and reconciliation?
Well, again, I don't want to speak for all Black people at all, because there are obviously some that, you know, are tired of all of this, believe it or not. There are some Black people that are like, I don't know why we're doing this. We just need to stop and look at all this that's going on. This is hurting everything, and stop the marching. Believe it or not, there are voices out there like that. And if anybody is on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, they've seen those voices too. And but I don't think that's where the majority of people are. I think the majority of people would appreciate someone saying, I don't understand. I'm sorry, help me understand. I wanna be better. I'm trying to grow. What blind spots do I have? Again, this is nothing, this is not something we've never done before. If you're married, you've already done this. If you have a healthy marriage, you've already done this. You've already had to go to your spouse and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I thought it was this, but it was actually that. It made you feel this certain way. I didn't mean for it to, but me not meaning for it not to hurt you doesn't mean it didn't hurt you. So I'm not gonna defend myself behind, I didn't mean it. I'm just gonna own it. And I want you to help me know, how do I not do that thing again? How do I not? And then can we link arms and move forward together? And some wounds do cut deeper than others. You know, some things maybe we said foolishly or ignorantly do cut deeper than others, and it cuts deeper depending on the person, right, and what they've walked through in their own life. But I think that posture right now, it's taking on that form of a servant that Jesus had in Philippians 2. We see it in John chapter 13. I just don't think we lose walking as he walked, loving as he loved. And then we do have to be willing to stand in front of those who want to stone people. We have to be willing to be, kind of take that hit like he did with the woman with the issue of blood. And I think if we're willing to like wash feet and take stones, I just think we're in a great spot. I just think we're in a great place.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you for your perspective today. I want to thank you for helping us. And thank you for your voice that I know is going to help so many because of this. Will you just end us out today by praying for leaders?
Yeah, I'd love to. And thank you so much again. And last thing I'll say is everyone's voice is needed. It is needed. So don't think you don't have a part to play because you're not sure of your part to play. I just think everybody really does have a part. Because we're not ultimately, in my brain at least, not just talking black and white. And some people want to make it just a black-white issue. But I do see it as a humanity issue. I do see it as a love issue. I do see it as a care for your neighbor issue. And I think if we can just be great at loving and caring for our neighbors, that muscle being stretched and flexed, that will never go to waste in the kingdom of God. It will never go to waste. So just, you don't have to post every single day. You don't have to be a part of every single march. You don't have to, I don't know. You know, me, I signed a little piece of paper with a bunch of pastors in town that are talking about how can we get some legislation turned in our city, because there are some things that are in place that are just really, really old that we'd like to see different. I just put my name on that, you know, and I'm not saying in that I'm voting for this person or that person. I'm saying I'm for people, and let's go ahead and let's just help people. So just take the step that you know to take, and then get ready to make mistakes, because we are all doing that together. Oh, let me pray. I'm sorry I'm talking too much here. Father, we love you. Our hearts are in your hands. We are in desperate need of your wisdom and your grace. God, you could have picked us to live at any time. And Father, maybe we would not have picked ourselves for this moment, but you did. So we just say, not our will, your will be done. We say, not our way, your way. We say, not our path, your path. So God, in the stretching, in the crushing, in the uncomfort, in the discomfort, in the fear, in the anxiety, in the passion and the zeal, and all of it that we're feeling all at the same time, we ask for your grace and your power and your spirit to fill us like we've never been filled before. Yeah. We pray, oh God, that you would pour out upon us and we would walk with conviction. We would walk with a sternness and a strength, and then also with a humility and a love all at the same time. We pray that we would be dripping Jesus in every conversation. We pray that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We pray that you would lead us and guide us into all truth. We pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Would you show us our blind spots? We give you permission now. Show us where we have been wrong. Show us that where we have not seen something from the right perspective. Help open up our eyes. But then, God, give us the grace to move forward. Give us the grace to lead our churches and lead our families and lead our communities. Help us to wash feet and take stones. Help us to be a bridge and be willing to get walked on. Then help us to stand up strong. All of it, God, for your glory. We're not asking after ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not after our own name. We're after the name Jesus Christ being lifted up. Oh, when that name is lifted, every man and every woman will be drawn unto you. Yeah. That's what we want, Lord. Yeah. So have your way. Heal our world and let us be a part of that healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you, Pastor Earl. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for a great conversation today. I know it's going to help so many. And hey, for anyone listening to this today, we're so glad that you've joined us. However you're watching this today, listening to this today, why don't you hit the subscribe button? It would be our honor to have a space with you and your team regularly here with the podcast, just to help us all move church forward, which is our goal. So until next time, we just want you all to know we love you. We're praying for you. We're standing with you. We pray God's favor rest upon you and your churches. God bless you.
This has been the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. For more information on conferences and events, check out teamchurchconference.com.